Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Friday. So happy to be here. We're absolutely packed. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me today. We have had a crazy, wild week.
Whoa! What do you mean? What happens?
Nutty.
It's so calm here in Los Angeles.
Zany. You know, Joy, I like theories.
Yes, you do.
And some are right, some are wrong. I'm not paralyzed by being wrong. I like to think about stuff, throw it out there, see what you think. Lakers now need somebody to run the franchise. And Rob Pelinka is currently in-house, but this is a big franchise, and a lot of people wonder, is he big enough to land free agents, big enough to be seen as the face of the franchise? Jeannie Buss worries about that. A lot of people upstairs worry about that. He's smart enough, but it's more than that to be the president. And Bill Oram, who writes for The Athletic, came on the other day, and he said this about who could end up leading the franchise.
There's always been an angst about the way things ended with LeBron. Obviously, left the Lakers in the prime of his career. There are two circles there that I think he could close kind of in this final chapter of his career. If you're Jeannie Buss, he would check two boxes. One, he is seasoned. He has shown he can do the job. He is admired. He's a Hall of Famer. And he also does check the box that Jeannie values, which is being a member of the Lakers family.
Okay. He's talking about Pat Riley. And I said, Phil Jackson, Jerry West, Pat Riley, let's not live our life through the rear view mirror. Those guys are way, I mean, you look in your rear view mirror with those guys, you can barely make them out. I want to throw out Kobe Bryant. He's not really in the rear view mirror. If he is, he's in the back seat of the car. He's really close to being the front seat of the car. I'm going to throw a couple things at you, and I want you to think about. To be a star in the NBA, ego matters. Guys keep score. Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. Guys get petty, they keep score. All of them. The good guys, the bad guys. Dr. J, Kareem, they keep score. Kobe keeps score. Magic is the most popular Laker in Los Angeles. Kobe is second. But if Kobe replaces the apparently incompetent face of the franchise Lakers and succeeds, oh, Kobe's gravitas grows over Magic in this city. Mm-hmm. Kobe is uniquely built to run a franchise. Unlike Magic, Kobe's a grinder and always has been. He's not into Hollywood projects. He can do them and succeed, but if he cared about Hollywood like LeBron does, then he'd live up near Hollywood. Kobe lives an hour and a half south. His entire career, he had no interest in getting all connected to Hollywood. He's not into it. That's not who he is. He can do it, but he's not immersed in it. Magic's done a couple Hollywood things. He's not immersed in it. He's built for international scouting, is Kobe. Grew up in Italy, speaks multiple languages, revered in Europe. Also, Turkish Airlines been the spokesman. He's revered internationally. He sold more shoes in China than Yao Ming. I'm not joking. Kobe is a global figure. He sold shoes everywhere. Grew up in Italy. Knows the foreign game. Knows the European game. And whereas Magic is somebody I grew up idolizing, the current free agents, guys available, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, they didn't grow up idolizing Magic. They grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant, as Rick Bucher on the show yesterday pointed out.
You and I remember Magic as the legendary player. Players in the league today think of him as a part owner of the Dodgers. And movie theaters and business executive, and look what he did post-career. He's not beholden to them.
And now the big elephant in the room, LeBron James. Jeannie Buss owns the Lakers and is concerned, this is no great secret, of handing the franchise over to Clutch Sports and LeBron James. If they sign Anthony Davis, LeBron, two biggest stars, Clutch Sports, she's handed the franchise to LeBron. What is LeBron James' worst nightmare? Kobe Bryant is his boss, with the power to trade LeBron, with the power in Los Angeles, much more popular, to shrink LeBron. Kobe Bryant idolized by Kawhi Leonard. Jeannie Buss is also deeply concerned about the Clippers getting Kawhi over the Lakers. Who was Kawhi's favorite player growing up? It was not Magic. Kobe Bryant takes the job. His best friend, it should be noted, Kobe's best friend is Rob Pelinka, who would stick around if Kobe got the job. Think about this. He's built to do this. Kobe's too smart to be hanging around doing silly Hollywood projects for the next 20 years. He's a complete and utter grinder. He's not in the rearview mirror like Riley, Phil Jackson, Jerry West. He's in the back seat. You can see him in the rearview mirror, but he can get right out of the car and take over the wheel. He's smart. He's built for international scouting. This is the best free agent summer, or tied for the best, in a decade. He'd have his right-hand man, Rob Pelinka, and he's family. And Jeannie Buss is very and should be concerned about handing the franchise over to LeBron, Clutch Sports, and Anthony Davis. And how do you keep LeBron in line? Kobe walks in, already more powerful, with the opportunity to move him. I think it's real. Kyrie Irving and Kobe have a real relationship. Kawhi Leonard and Kobe, it's a real thing. I think it's real. I think it needs to be discussed. I don't think this is crazy. I'm not a rear view mirror guy. I always say, come on, use the windshield. Kobe, look at him. He looks young. He thinks young. He's a grinder. International connection. By the way, I was told Jerry West, who's now in the Clipper team, loved competing against Magic. Loved it. Stole Zubac from him. Kobe Bryant knows what Jerry West knows what Kobe's about. Kobe's about work. You're not throwing any 78-mile-an-hour off-speed pitches past Kobe Bryant. You think it's nuts, don't you? I know what you do. If Kobe even has an inkling to ever do this, it is the perfect time. He can replace Magic, who was a disaster. He'll have power over LeBron. Don't kid yourself, it matters. It's a great free agent summer, and his best friend's already in the building. And by the way, Jeannie Buss, it should be noted, already chose Kobe over Magic, because one of the reasons Magic left is because Jeannie would not let him fire both Luke Walton and Rob Pelinka. So Jeannie already chose Kobe's opinion over Magic's. I'm going to tell you something. If Kobe took this team over and had power over LeBron, they should create an NBA Hard Knocks. Lakers should be the first team on it. I want to be in the building. I'm throwing it out there. I'm not saying it's right. You start connecting all these dots.
I mean, Kobe has kind of ascended over the past year. He's now like the golden Mamba. He's the untouchable Laker right now.
Be a real easy thing. When you enter a job, the entry points really, really important in entering a job. Okay, you don't want to replace Howard Stern you don't want to replace Bill Belichick in New England. You don't want to replace, Joe Torre with the Yankees.
Well, weirdly, it would seem like he is, because he would be replacing Magic.
But who was a mess. It didn't work. It was a mess. So it's the perfect entry. I mean, wouldn't you argue that the guy that you trail in gravitas in the city, Magic completely whiffed?
I mean, he did get LeBron. Even if LeBron wanted to come here, he was responsible for putting that together.
I'm not saying that, but LeBron is not embraced by Laker Nation right now. They want his autograph and a selfie, but if you moved him and got picks and a player, land Kawhi and Kyrie,
I just would be careful to, obviously this did not end well, but I would be careful to just write off this entire season as a disaster. To me, the genesis of all of the Lakers' issues, everything that's going on right now, was injuries.
But Lonzo Ball can't stay healthy. Brandon Ingram now has a blood issue. Those aren't going away. Those guys are not really viable trade assets. And by the way, LeBron's old, had his first injury. I'm not disagreeing, but this idea that next year everybody will just be healthy.
No, I don't think – no, there's a lot that has to happen next year for this to turn around. I'm just saying, entry point being what it is, you are replacing a Lakers legend who is still loved, although not – in the best state with the team right now, considering how things have gone.
We should mention
this. But you do have to fix everything, too.
Right. And I think Kobe has a much greater chance to land free agents and fix it. As I said, entry point is really important. You don't want to replace Jerry West when he left, or Pat Riley when he left. You know, it's like whoever has to replace Pat Riley with a Miami Heat, good luck, or Saban in Alabama. But replacing somebody that came in and it looks like the job's tougher than they thought, and it just happens to be in the city of Los Angeles, the only basketball player that's currently living more popular than you. And let me just throw this out there. This idea that Kobe's, I hear this, oh, Kobe's not interested. Oh, really? So then why is he constantly in communication with Rob Pelinka? Why isn't he out, you know, playing golf and drinking Coronas in Newport and doing hot? Because Kobe's still into it. Kobe knows the NBA, loves the NBA, knows personnel. You think I'm crazy? You write this off, Uncle Colin. I don't think it's nuts.
I do think Kobe also has the, let's call it edge, that you need to make the tough decisions that Magic did not want to do. So just their personalities alone, Kobe is a better fit for this.
You and I know this. If you're thin-skinned, this is a bad business to be in.
Right.
Right. Like, you have to have the right. Sister would not do this job well. She didn't like all that pushback. You maybe have somebody in your family. There are certain personalities built for certain jobs. Like, you got to be a good arguer to be an attorney. If you don't like conflict, don't be an attorney.
Right.
If you don't like blood, don't be a surgeon. If you don't have a little you-know-what in you, don't be an NBA president or a GM, because you're going to get ripped by everybody. And Magic didn't like that.
Well, not even getting rips. You also have to make tough decisions. You have to cut people. You have to trade people. You have to
be
able to
little killer.
A little
killer.
But also, it's the Black Mamba. Like, you have to have that in you while also being able to maintain relationships, which is a very hard tightrope to walk.
All right. So go ahead, fire away. I'm crazy. I'm nutty. I'm just saying it. I could actually endorse this. And I'm not for star players. Let's not pretend that all star players are a disaster. Isaiah Thomas did some stuff with the Raptors. If you go back and look at his Raptor career, Isaiah Thomas did a lot of smart stuff. Larry Bird had success doing things in Indiana. So don't tell me that, like, players can't succeed. We've had players in front offices in sports that have done a really, really good job.
I don't think him being a player has anything to do with him not being able to be successful in this position. If anything, it makes you more qualified. You've spent your entire life around the game. You have relationships that you could not pay for.
I never thought Magic or Barkley or Clyde Drexler are built for post-basketball front office work. It's not their personality. They like to have fun. They're big personalities. Kobe's a grinder. Kobe goes home and he's sitting there. I don't know Kobe that well, but I know enough people that do know him. Kobe's all business. Kobe's too smart to worry about goofy Hollywood projects for the next 30 years.
Really, if they're going to keep Pelinka, it's kind of the only thing that makes sense. Because to me, if you're gonna start over and you're going to get an up-and-comer, you really can't have Pelinka in that position.
You know, I'm going to retract something. This is not even a crazy idea. It's the only reasonable idea.
If you're going to hang on to Pelinka and Wallen.
Otherwise, what's the alternative? Hire David Griffin, hire Ty Lue, get Anthony Davis. Here's LeBron. It's the Cavs West. Do you want to give your franchise? Hey, listen, you can
do
that.
Well, that did work for 1 year.
You can do it. But I think Jeannie Buss, when I hear Jeannie's got real reservations about just making it Cleveland West. That's what I hear.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The two biggest stars in America right now in American sports are NFL quarterbacks and NBA stars. Nothing against baseball, hockey, whatever. I'm not saying Serena, you know, isn't huge, but I'm saying in the galaxy of American sports domestically, kind of the biggest stars are your Durants, your Stephs, your LeBrons, your NBA guy, and your quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Breeze. The NFL quarterback seems to understand how much coaching matters. Tom Brady fights, goes to the owner to get Josh McDaniels raises. Brady gets, it's all about my offensive coordinator. That thing's got to work. It's not that Tom wouldn't be good. Tom's had four different coordinators in New England, maybe five. But quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, they absolutely get, they fight to get offensive coaches that elevate their game. NBA stars are different. And by the way, Kevin Durant would be good with anybody. You don't think coaching though matters? Here's what's interesting. Kyrie Irving reportedly wants to go to New York or move. But if you look at Kyrie Irving's stats, playoffs start tomorrow, Celtics play Sunday. I think they win the East. He's had career highs with everything with Brad Stevens. Do you remember what happened to Isaiah Thomas when he left Brad Stevens? Isaiah Thomas is a B-minus NBA player who is in the MVP running with Brad Stevens. Tangibly, everything Kyrie's done, all career highs. Assists, rebounds, steals, blocks, VORP. VORP is the baseball equivalent of WAR. NBA people really care about VORP. All career highs. Go down the list. Okay, if you're a guard in the NBA, here's the two coaches you have to think very strongly about ever leaving. Mike D'Antoni in Houston. He made Jeremy Lin a star. Every guard, Steve Nash, MVP in the league. James Harden, MVP in the league. Chris Paul. Everybody goes to Mike D'Antoni at guard. Everybody's better. That's what he does. And then there's Brad Stevens. Every guard under Brad Stevens excels. Kyrie's having a great year. I got nothing against David Fizdale. But what is David Fizdale? What's the history of him tangibly making you better? Fizdale's reputation, great guy, communicate with anybody. He's a great communicator. He deals with stars really well. That's something. Not really tangible. He did get along with Marc Gasol. He also was close with LeBron, but LeBron's not going to be a Knick, so who cares? Who cares if he gets along with LeBron? But what Fizdale's known for is something that's hard to get your arms around. You know, he's good with stars. Well, it's something. Brad Stevens is great with point guards. So if I was Kyrie Irving, and there are places you could go to have some success, and this is not a shot at Fizdale, who's a good guy, and you know, the Memphis was just a mess. It just was a disaster. But if you can tangibly, you don't leave Andy Reid if you're an NFL quarterback. You don't leave him. He makes every quarterback like 18% better than they are. Everybody. I mean, Michael Vick's career was over. Oh, there's Andy Reid. Michael Vick's career, he got paid again. Everybody. Nick Foles was almost out of the league. And Andy Reid props him up. Now Nick Foles making a bunch of money. He's got a Super Bowl. So, it's funny. NFL quarterbacks seem to get this whole coaching really matters. Golfers tend to be really good at that. Tennis players really know that. You know, they like, oh, the coach matters. I mean, Serena would win with anybody. But tennis coaches are difference makers. Golf swing coaches are difference makers. NBA guys, Kyrie is going to be good anywhere. But just do not deny that basketball coaching to get the very best out of you. Does Kevin Durant know? He may like Fizdale, but does he know that Steve Kerr has the highest winning percentage in NBA history and is an offensive guy? Now, there's other coaches. Mark Jackson's a defensive guy. If you need defense, Mark Jackson tangibly makes your defense better. I like coaches who give me something I can see data. Oh, this coach comes in, these guys get better. That position gets better. That's what I like to see. That mean Kyle Shanahan, NFL 49ers. Everywhere he goes, quarterbacks get better. Everywhere. Matt Ryan, for a year, you kept telling me he was better than Aaron Rodgers because Kyle Shanahan was there. Left, he was back to being Matt Ryan. Really, really good, not Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This is a very, like a lot of teams are hard to predict for the draft. But there are a lot of teams. I'll take the New York Jets. They need to upgrade their offensive linemen. They need a pass rusher. I'm going to tell you right now, Jets are going to go get a pass rusher, and they need to upgrade their offensive line. They're going to draft that. And then there's teams. The Raiders are an easy team to predict. The Raiders need a pass rusher. They need corners because they already spent money on their offense in free agency. They're going to draft defense. They need another linebacker. They need two corners. They need an edge rusher because they let go of Khalil Mack. You can figure out where the Raiders are going to go. So Mike Mayock was talking yesterday. And, you know, Gruden's already putting pressure on him because Gruden's made all these moves. Amari Cooper, you're out of here. Khalil Mack, to get all these first-round picks, here's Mike Mayock.
John keeps telling me, don't mess it up, dude. You know, I took a lot of slings to get you three first-round picks. Four of the first 35 picks gives you an opportunity to consider all those scenarios multiple times. And, again, that's why we're opening up the line of communications with all the teams around the league. We need to be nimble. And nimble means, depending on what the situation is, to be able to react quickly according to the situation and make the right decision.
Okay, I think here's the top four picks. Kyler Murray's going to Arizona, the quarterback from Oklahoma. I think San Francisco has the second pick. They're going to take Nick Bosa. They need an edge rusher. I think the Jets are going to take Josh Allen, the pass rusher, because they have Leonard Williams on the defensive front. He's terrific. The Raiders are going to get Quinnen Williams from Alabama. Now, the good news is he's the best player in the draft. Every executive and scout I talk to, the best player in the draft is Quinnen Williams from Alabama. Pretty much one-on-one unblockable. Now, if you double him, you can move him around. But one-on-one, he's getting to the quarterback. He's stopping the run. He is really, really good. Best player in the draft. Now, you say, well, why wouldn't the other teams take him? Because the Jets need a pass rusher. When you're in a division with Tom Brady and play him twice, they need a pass rusher more than Quinnen Williams. And San Francisco, you know, you're in a division with Russell Wilson and Jared Goff. You need the best pass rusher available. Arizona has Chandler Jones, number one pick. They don't, you know, the bottom line here is the Raiders are going to get the best player in the draft. My gut feeling is Quinnen Williams. That's the good news for the Raiders. Here's the bad news. This draft, and this is the way most drafts work, just because you get drafted in the first round does not make you a first-round talent. I've been told there's about 15 players in the first round that are first-round guys. By about the 17th pick, you're paying first-round money for a second-round player. So where you want to be in this draft is in the top 15. The Raiders are. That's great. That's why New England, by the way, is trying to trade up. You want to be in the top 15. The no man's land in this draft, where you're not going to get any value, is from pick 16 to the last pick in the first round, because you're going to pay a first round draft choice and they're second round players. There is, after about the 15th pick to about the 90th pick in this draft, there's a lot of similarity. The difference makers are high. New England's trying to get in there because they got a lot of draft capital. That's what New England's trying to do. That's not a secret. New England's looking to move up in this draft. But where you don't want to be, this is the bad news for the Raiders. They have two picks, 24 and 27. You don't want to be there. The bottom of the first round, the middle to bottom of this first round's not a good spot this year. You're paying a first-round price for a second-round player. Does not mean it's a bad draft. But you're always looking to get value on every player. There's no value in overpaying for anybody outside of occasionally a quarterback because there's a scarcity and they are the most important player. So good news, Raiders are in that top 15. The bad news is they're in no man's land after that. They have the 24th, the 27th, and the 35th. And that's kind of a little bit of the first two are kind of no man's land. Houston, by the way, is in a good situation. They got three picks, like second round to fourth round. They got three picks. New England's got five picks in that space. That's where you want to be in this draft. Really high or second to third, late third. There you go. Quinnen Williams, best player in the draft, Alabama.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He played for a decade in the NFL. Won a Super Bowl with the Giants in 2011, initially drafted by Green Bay. By the way, I want to show our audience something. You and I have a lot in common. So come over here briefly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he came over before and he said, hey, what up? And here's what we do.
That's it. Keep it simple, right?
In L.A., there's a lot of that.
Keep it simple.
But what did people in L.A. do?
It's the pound and then all that stuff.
You and I are not into that.
It's impossible to say hello to anyone in Los Angeles.
It's very impossible.
because everyone is from a different place and everyone has a different way of saying hello. It's this. Miami is the easiest place to say hello to anyone because everyone says the same thing.
The professional athletes who are germaphobes, they just pound.
Yeah, I'm about to start doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's too complicated. In Miami, everyone says hello. They do the air kiss. No matter
if that's what they do in Miami.
First time meeting someone or if it's family.
I lived there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Everyone.
I lived there for 2 years.
There's no question
air
about
kiss.
It. It's one side. It's not both sides.
All right.
Literally everyone.
Anyhow.
So, let me shift to this. So you were drafted initially by Green Bay at Boston College. So you
McCarthy's first year.
So you got the end of Brett and the beginning of Aaron. You were there 5 years?
I was there, yeah. Well, 4, and I got released in 10, technically.
So, you know, I didn't think Brett aged great. I thought he got a little stubborn. Whereas Brady's like, I always feel Brady and Breeze are kind of constantly reinventing themselves a little.
Well, when you draft your replacement, yeah.
So you thought you could sense the little bit of animosity with Favre and Rodgers.
I didn't sense any animosity, not so much with Favre and Rodgers. It was more so Favre and probably Ted Thompson. Maybe Favre and McCarthy.
Because they're the guys who want to get him out.
Oh, they try to Jazzy Jeff him from Fresh Prince. Throw him out the front door.
Really?
Possibly, yeah.
Now, I've...
Which was surprising because we literally just went to the NFC Championship game, which was a difficult loss.
When Favre left the building and Aaron came in,
yeah,
what was it like?
You know what, though? We honestly, we didn't blink because what we saw in practice with Aaron... We knew what was up. It was really cool because in practice with the ones, you went against Favre. The twos, you went against Aaron Rodgers. So we went out there on game day. It was like, if you're not better than our number two, no one is. So good luck.
Aaron just got kind of whacked in an article by Tyler Dunn. I mean, he had a lot of people come out and whack him and say, listen, he's part of this McCarthy thing. He's hard to coach. He froze receivers. How did that all land for you?
For me, it was just crazy because it's almost like you have people who have a dry sense of humor,
right?
You know, like I like shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm,
right?
I have dry humor. So sometimes people don't get me. I have a lot of people say, hey, Will, you have a really good poker face. We don't know if you're serious or not. We don't know if you're mad at us or not. We don't know. And with Rodgers, yeah, he can be sarcastic, but in a fun way. Some people may not like the joking. He and I, we always, you know, mess with each other and would always tease each other and have that kind of humor.
Yeah, but you're a Boston College guy. He's a Cal guy. You're a couple brain dudes.
We're brain dudes, that's why?
Boston College is like a brain school, so is Berkeley.
Yeah.
So the smart guys got each other. Because I've talked to guys, Aaron can be quick. And sometimes, sometimes Favre didn't like it.
Yeah, now we heard stuff about Rodgers the whole time. What really caught me off guard was Coach McCarthy getting massages. Like what is this?
So that in the article surprised you?
Yeah, because Coach McCarthy, when he got there, especially his personality, he's all about like integrity. And I remember his very first meeting, he told everyone, he said, conflict is good. He said, if we have conflict in the building, it's good because we're trying to understand each other. You know, so he promoted like, hey, let's figure it out because we're a team, we're a family. Let's figure it out to get on the same page. And he was always disciplined in terms of what he wanted as a team. So in terms of him leaving meetings to get massages, that first of all, there's only like 3 massage parlors in Green Bay, first of all, unless it changed. I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
So that's surprising me. And I guess to his defense, I know on Fridays, every team I've been on, the days are ended early, and sometimes coaches will turn it over to the players to have a players meeting and, you know, go over some stuff. And there are massage tables available in the training room. And sometimes, yeah, coaches will go down there. But that's...
That in the story was the crazy part to you.
It was.
Do you...
Because it seemed like he didn't care. And that's like, that's so far from who he was as a coach. And for him to have that personality, they're not going to be that successful if that was the case.
I want to talk about... there's been a lot of criticism of Ben this offseason. Now, you never played for the Steelers. You played for the Packers, the Giants, the Jags, and the Redskins. Some racial comments about Ben is not...
I saw that.
Those are big comments. I mean, those are kind of
things... Anytime you drop the R word, it's a massive deal.
It's a big thing. What do you make of it? Ramon Foster came out and said, like, you guys, a lot of this stuff is great for you radio talk show hosts, but there's a lot of people in the building that like him. Just what do you make of all that? Is it possible, you know, I mean, Antonio Brown's hard for me to figure out. I think he just wants the football, and Juju Smith-Schuster was a little bit of a threat, and that happens in all workplaces.
It does happen everywhere.
Le'Veon Bell, I know a little bit about Le'Veon.
I still can't quite get my arms around what happened
to
him.
Right, because the tweet I saw was Rashad Mendenhall, the former running back of the Steelers. That's where I initially saw that.
What do you make of those comments?
I think it's unnecessary. Like, what is it going to do? Like, what are you trying to say? What is it? I doesn't make any sense to me in that regards. You know, only thing I can make sense of it is maybe they just didn't have a relationship with that player, a good relationship with that person.
Did you ever play with a player that did divide a locker room? I mean, you said you and Aaron clicked.
Yeah,
Aaron's got a little bit of Big Ben, where maybe there's some guys in the locker room that aren't the biggest fans. JerMichael Finley did not get along with Aaron from the 18 times he's called him out.
Now, on a small scale, there was no rivalry at all, but I know when we had Donald Driver, who was our guy, and then Greg Jennings emerged, you know, I can tell, like, hey, Donald had to stay on his game. You know, he said, I need to stay on my game to be successful because, you know, some of my passes are going over here to this guy. I had a great relationship with Favre, and Favre's throwing, Hail Mary overtime touchdowns to Greg.
How about this with the Steelers and the Packers? How about this? Not everybody in the locker room gets along.
Not everyone in the locker room gets along. But at the end of the day, when we line up on Sundays, we figure out and get it done. Yeah. I mean, there were so many things going on in the Redskins locker room, you know, with a Swearinger or whatever was going on, but they were still a good team.
When you were with the Giants and won your Super Bowl, was it a tight locker room?
Our locker room was solid. We had leaders
Best locker room you were ever in?
Oh, best locker room by far.
Why?
We had leaders on every single room.
Give me them.
Well, in the offense, we had, you know, obviously, Eli was one of our leaders. We had David Deal, Sean O'Hara. We had Chris Knee on defense. We had Tuck, O.C. Manura, Deion Grant.
Boy, those are good dudes.
Chase Blackburn. I mean, we just had solid guys. And Coach Coughlin, he had a leadership committee where he would meet with those guys. And he's like, hey, whatever you guys can't handle, sure, bring it to me. But you guys let me know what's going on, what you want me to change, and you guys handle it. And literally, if you slipped up, everybody held you accountable. Like, You might get beat up if you disobey or don't follow our rules, you know. So that's what kept our locker room extremely tight, because we had guys who truly held each other accountable, and nothing really got to Coughlin unless it got out of our control.
Want to go to Arizona? There's a story out today. They're already negotiating with Kyler Murray. I think Joy brought this up a month ago. I thought it was a really good point where she said, part of having a young quarterback is building an optimism from your fan base, your advertisers, your locker room.
Okay.
If you don't make the move now with Kyler, I mean, it's almost like, oh, we got Josh Rosen going into the season. It almost feels like Arizona has to make a move, right?
They have to. I feel like last year they were in a position where we have to get a quarterback, especially when he's there. He was there. Josh was there. We have to go get him. They didn't know they were going to pick number one this year. They didn't know that, you know, this guy was going to light it up. Kyler Murray's going to light up and be available. They're doing all their due diligence. I mean, something great, like a few years ago, the Patriots, they brought in Manziel for a visit just to do their due diligence on him. I wouldn't be surprised if they took him and held on to two quarterbacks.
Really?
And figure out what's going to happen. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I seen Seattle when they signed Matt Flynn to a deal, they drafted Russell and had him duked it out. And then they traded Matt Flynn to the Raiders. You know, I look at the Redskins, they got Robert first round, and they got Kirk in the fourth.
Yeah, but it usually means really bad news for somebody.
No, it does, but it's still, I mean, it's on a different scale because you're looking at two first-round quarterbacks back-to-back. I understand that, but nothing surprises me anymore, nothing at all.
Yeah, it's really interesting. RG3 was the runner. Kirk Cousins was the quarter, but the pocket guy won. In this one, you've got, I mean, Josh and Kyler are completely different quarterbacks.
Completely different quarterbacks.
Matt Flynn and Russell were completely different. So Seattle chose the athletic guy.
Yep.
Washington chose the pocket guy. So you can go either way on this.
But Russell can stand in the pocket.
Oh, no, he can.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they made that decision early in his career, where he's a much better pocket guy now than 6 years ago. I mean, he was moving around a lot. You know, he's a young kid. He was learning the offense.
Well, the cool thing about Russell is that he asked a lot of questions early. He asked a lot of questions, like, to me in terms of, like, what do I got to do to take care of
How did you know him?
Well, I was there during training camp. Just training camp. I didn't play a full season, but I was there in training camp in, like, 13.
For Seattle.
Yeah, and he always asked questions to all the veterans, like, how do I take care of my body? He would, you know, he idolized guys like Drew Brees, like, how do I stay healthy? How do I do this? He's always trying to get better and improve himself. He's never satisfied, and I think that's why he's able to be durable and last so long and be successful.
Finally, Alex Guerrero says Tom Brady would play until he's 50. Now, let's take away, because you're different, because when you're a corner – You're a secondary guy. It really comes down to speed. Can you cover?
Right.
So guys just get slower as they get older. Quarterback's different. Physically, how long could you have played? Again, if your speed was the same, let's say you were the, like Darryl Green played forever because he was still fast.
Because he ran a 4.3 at 50 or
yeah.
something.
Like for you, by the time you were done with football, were you done with football?
I'm still not done with football. Honestly, someone asked me the other day, they said, if somebody called you right now, would you go? I said, I'd probably entertain it. I could go right now. I'm still good.
Well, played with 2 years ago with the Redskins, 60, yeah. a bunch of games.
Yeah.
So you'd go today?
I could go right now, no question.
So you miss football?
Oh, I would always miss football. I would always miss football because it was my childhood dream to play it. I'm not that guy like, oh, I don't need it anymore. I don't like it. That drives me crazy, by the way, when people say that. Because there are guys like me who, like, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I love. So, yeah, I will always miss football. But I feel like Tom can because I'm a huge boxing fan, right? And I love, like, Bernard Hopkins. Bernard Hopkins fought at 52 years old.
God!
Okay.
That's incredible.
Right? So I look at that. I'm like, sure, Tom, especially nowadays, first of all, Tom protects himself. You know, I think between him and Rodgers, he played 100 more games than Aaron. It was only sacked probably 60 more times. You know, and that just shows to him, he knows how to protect himself, get rid of the football.
And also his diet,
you know, being to stay healthy, and he's figured that out.
You know, NBA guys are now going to this no meat diet thing.
That's not happening.
I can't do it.
I love Brazilian steakhouses.
I had a pork chop last night.
Why not?
My favorite thing in the world to eat.
Was it shake and bake?
No, but I've done that a lot. It was restaurant pork chop. I'll tell you, my favorite thing in the world to eat is a hamburger.
No doubt.
A great grilled burger.
Fries and milkshake all day.
Oh,
the American meal.
It's the best thing in the world.
What are you doing after this?
No kidding. I think you owe me a few meals.
I actually do owe you
really
a couple.
Been good
I do owe you a
you.
Burger. I'm serious.
You look tight today, by the way.
Appreciate it. You know what? I was going to dress casual like you and just be chill, but Marcus Smith, our senior director of talent relations.
He doesn't like that.
He was like, listen, well, you better come in a tuxedo today, at least a tuxedo. And I was like, you know what? I'll wear a tie.
I like how
you, Marcus.
You look tight. Yeah, people upstairs, they like everybody. I'm like the only guy in the company allowed to look like a slob.
You got the Favre rule.
Friday. This is a little more casual than it usually
You have
do.
The Favre rule. You had to wear a suit on the plane, and Favre showed up with his Wranglers and a button-up. And so McCarthy was like, listen, all right, guys, you guys can wear Wranglers and button-ups.
It was a Favre rule.
It was a Favre rule. So you get the Favre rule.
I'm Favre.
You're
a little
Favre.
Uncoachable. A little grumpy as
Why
I age.
There you go again. Uncoachable. What is this?
Brett was a little uncoachable at the end. A little uncoachable.
No, he wasn't. What are you going to say to a guy who's been there 465 years?
Do some jumping jacks, win football games.
And he did. He showed up. He never missed a game.
You don't think he was a little uncoachable? A little bit of an ego?
Rightfully so. When you drive down 41 and you have your own street, you have your number on the biggest barn in Green Bay, yeah, you're going to have a little ego. You get to park under the stadium next to Ted Thompson. Yeah, he didn't park with us.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Favre. Yeah, you didn't park with us.
He parked underneath the stadium.
Under the stadium, yep. He was football lord, man.
That's pretty cool. Good seeing you, buddy.
You too, man.
Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.